Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dory Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
We're not experts.
No, we're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Kate, how you doing?
Dory, not great.
I'm sorry.
Real talk, I'm not having a good day.
Okay.
I almost burst into tears before I left, so then I ice rolled my face and smelled my lavender calming balm on the drive over here. It seems to have worked.
Okay, great.
Not that I don't want to have a good cry.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to do it right before we're about to record the podcast.
I get that.
I'd like to save it until later.
During the podcast.
Until about 2 minutes in. Yeah, I just am, you know, when you're just having a week, you're fucking up everything. Even when I got here, I was like only 3 minutes early and then like the parking lot was full and I was like, I can't even fucking get here. You know what? I'm having that. And then what I do is then I really get into some really negative self-talk about myself. And so I'm having a hard time pulling myself out of that. Yeah. So you know what? Live and learn. It's all a practice.
Totally.
I apologized to a friend before I got over here because I, like, in a Facebook conversation, I kind of said something that, like, I look back and I'm like, why was I making just, like, rude comment about something? And so I sent an apology, which was, like, it felt nice to be like, hey, you know what? I fucked that up. Sorry. Like, I have no excuse. That was dumb of me. I'll try to do better next time. That felt decent.
Did she accept your apology?
I haven't heard back. I think so. It was like a totally civil conversation, but I was just like, why did I even, like, I said something in a way that, like, I would have chastised my kids if they did that. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm not, what am I doing? I'm just in a funk. So, you know what? Also, I am menstruating. Oh. And I'm having a pretty rough period this month. Mm. And it feels like my insides are being wrung out. I'm sure that adds to the, like, just, you know.
Are you taking anything?
Well, I've been taking Pamprin per your recommendation, but I have to tell you, it is not strong enough this time.
How many are you taking?
Two.
Oh, I take three.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think my periods are as bad as yours. Okay.
So I might add.
I have that dose.
Okay. The bottle said two, but Dr. Dory says three.
Yeah.
I'm really. So that probably contributes to the, like, emotional instability I'm feeling today.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know it'll pass. And I know that the shit I tell myself about myself is not. Like, I know I need to be gentle with myself.
Yeah.
The same shit I would tell somebody else.
Yeah.
I've even had a listener, like, DM me and be like, I think you're too hard on yourself. I was like, that's nice. But also, I'm worthless. But anyway, Dory, that's where I'm at. If I cry while recording this, you know, that's just what we're here for.
Well, I mean, is there anything you can do today to...
Oh, can I already tell you what I did? Sorry to interrupt you.
No.
I was going to try to go to my exercise class this morning.
Yeah.
I was already 5 minutes late, and I said out loud to myself, Kate, it's not happening today. You need to stay home and get organized to make yourself feel better. I literally just talking to myself in my kitchen. And I was like, you need to stay home. You need to get organized, and doing that will help you calm down. So I, like, took a shower, got clothes on, and then I just organized for 45 minutes before I left to come here. It was just like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You're making yourself feel worse. And also, I need to go to bed earlier. I can feel that I'm tired, but I'm doing stuff at night. So I'm going to reevaluate kind of, I don't know. Do I sound like I'm spiraling? A little spirally. Yeah. Yeah. I came in here and I was like, I'm in a place. But anyway, it helps getting to come here. And you're a very calming force. Sammy, thank you. You guys are both very calming energetically. You're making me feel better.
Okay.
Deep breath. How are you doing over there?
Well, I've had a real, let me back up. A few weeks ago, I mentioned Otessa Moshfegh's book, My Year of Rest and Relaxation.
Yeah.
Where that woman basically, like, drugs herself to sleep for a year. And I kind of feel like that's what I'm doing right now with this morning sickness situation. I feel like I am living in a fog.
Yeah.
You know, as I've said before on this podcast, I'm very fortunate that I have a very flexible job.
Totally.
Which is what I'm doing, the one I'm doing right this second.
No, it is.
Yeah. And, you know, I can stay home most of the time and do a lot of work from home. And I fortunately have a really great partner in my business.
Oh, do you mean me? They're talking about Matt.
Kate Spencer.
Oh, well, hello.
Who is great about picking up the slack when I've just been like, I'm sorry, I was out of it all day. So I'm very grateful for that. And I'm very grateful for you,
tears,
Kate.
The tears might come.
And I do feel very fortunate that on the days... Today is not a very bad day, but there were a few days last week that were very bad, and I just felt I was puking, I was nauseous all day, it was just bad, and I was like, I'm really lucky that I can stay home, literally not get out of bed, and either be asleep or watching The Good Place.
I've been thinking about. We've talked about this and how it frustrates me because you're right. So many women are going into whatever respective job they have as sick as you've been, oftentimes, quote unquote, in secret, because culturally we've been conditioned not to talk about first trimester pregnancy.
Yep.
And it's been making me feel really frustrated that there's not a larger support for women, pregnant women in this first trimester. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that's really, I mean, I am grateful too that you have that flexibility. It doesn't make it, I mean, it does give you some ease in terms of allowing you to, you know, rest, but it still sucks.
Yeah, it still sucks. But, you know, because I've been doing IVF and the podcast for so long, like I've been so public about everything, the highs and the many, many lows.
Yeah.
And when I started it, when we started the podcast, I remember a friend said to me, like, what are you going to do if things don't go well? Like, how are you going to handle that? And I was like, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to talk about it. And I will say now, you know, 2 years later, that I'm so glad that I've talked about all that stuff. And now talking about all the nausea that I've been having, that's been really good for me too. I just feel more supported. And I was thinking, like, God forbid I have a miscarriage. Like, I will have this community of support. And so I think people should do what you feel comfortable with.
Of course.
But I hope that more women will start talking about being pregnant earlier and find more of a community earlier.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of been, I mean, I've canceled every social engagement. I pretty much don't leave my house except to podcast.
You wrote that you are one big carb.
I'm also one big carb.
One big carb.
It's like because the Dave Matthews song. Pretty much anything cooking smells disgusting to me. Except mac and cheese.
Box mac and cheese. Yum.
And like meat is not appealing to me. Like vegetables are not appealing to me. Kind of the only thing that I want to eat are like crackers and peanut butter sandwiches.
Great.
On soft wheat bread, bananas. I've eaten oranges.
Oh, interesting.
People say citrus is good. Mm. Applesauce.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's weird because I constantly have this sort of like carby taste in my mouth. I'm not carb free in my normal life, but I don't like exclusively eat carbs.
you're like paleo, but carb paleo.
Exactly. And I do feel a little bit gross. Like it just doesn't feel great to pretty much only be eating carbs. I'm getting some I'm eating cereal with whole milk.
Mm, I love a whole milk.
Which is delicious, by the way. So I'm getting some protein there. But like, man, it's a lot of carbs. And I'm just hoping that after the first trimester, I will get more of my real appetite back.
Yeah, I bet you. I'm not going to say I bet you will, but I also am hopeful.
Also, can I say something a little bit gross?
I mean, yeah. Have you heard this podcast? Definitely.
My poop is a different color.
That's probably from the carbs.
Totally.
Right?
It's 100% from the carbs.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Our food affects. I mean, have you ever eaten a lot of blueberries or beets?
Oh, totally.
You
but
know
it's
what
just
happens.
Like, it's just weird. It's like, oh, my poop doesn't look like that normally. All right.
No, I will say getting intimate with your bowel movements is a great way to see what's going on in your body.
Totally. I mean, and look, at least I'm having bowel movements.
Amen, because you don't want any constipation. That
no,
is the worst feeling.
That is the worst.
I'm glad you're pooping.
Thank you. So, yeah, so all of that's been going on. And then it's all sort of like, and Matt and I talked about this on our podcast, but, you know, the whole specter of infertility is like always kind of hanging over you.
Well, I imagine becoming pregnant after two and a half years of very publicly dealing with infertility is kind of a mind fuck. Like,
it's a total, it's a total mind fuck. So I'm sort of still like dealing with that. Like it still feels a little surreal. I also, you know, I don't feel like every time I post on Instagram, I have to like preface everything by saying, but I'm hashtag grateful, you know? But there is, I mean, I think there is an element of the infertility community who haven't gotten pregnant, who kind of do feel that way. And it's a little bit of a struggle for me to feel like, you know, I don't have to service them. I empathize. I've been there. I went through it. But I'm also going through what I'm going through now.
Yes. And I think it can be – I mean, the thing is, you are obviously feeling grateful and blessed in
totally.
Any other word that you want to
exactly.
use. That should almost go without saying.
Yeah.
I often find, from the perspective as a parent, like there are a lot of people who or there's pressure to like preface your complaints about parenthood or your kids with like, I'm so blessed. I love being a parent, but ...
Right.
And I feel that urge to do that too, because you don't, it is such a gift to
yeah.
have these things in our lives. But also I think there should be room to acknowledge how things are hard for, when things are hard for us.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
So I totally, I as an observer, you know, I think what you're going through is very hard. And also having to be a public, there aren't a ton of public figures talking about infertility. So it's still
like me and Chrissy Teigen.
Honestly. And so it's still a discussion that's kind of in the earlier stages of happening.
Yeah.
So you have like a unique position, I think.
Yeah. And that is also a little bit mindfucky because I'm not going to be everything to everyone.
You're everything to me.
Well, thank you.
No, but you can't be. And that can feel really, you want to be.
Totally.
Like you want to be that, but it's very hard.
Totally. And I'm like, I'm just a person.
Yes. I will also say that, and this was my experience in the first trimester of both my pregnancies, is it's an indescribable kind of feeling. Your body is completely changing. Saying you feel tired and nauseous, it doesn't quite encapsulate how awful it can feel. Plus there's an emotional element.
Yeah.
So I think it can be hard to articulate exactly what you're going through.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're doing it so clearly.
And I'll just say one more thing, which is that my tiredness is also compounded by the fact that diclegis makes you drowsy.
Oh God, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And I'm on the highest dose of it. I'm taking it 3 times a day.
And diclegis is an anti-nausea medication?
Yeah. It's basically Unisom and B6.
Okay.
Mixed in one pill. And so I take, you know, I take it at night before I go to bed. I take it first thing in the morning and then I take it in the afternoon. So I take 2 at night, which like is a bigger dose, and then 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon. But like taking that much of it, like you do, that's what I meant before when I said I felt like I was kind of in a fog.
Yeah.
Like I'm definitely not at 100% of my faculties. You know what I mean?
I do, which I think can feel frustrating when it's you, or not you, Dory, but for a person to not feel like their usual self can be frustrating. And you know, oftentimes the advice you get is like, just enjoy it, or like, it'll pass. But in the moment, it can be very hard to see outside of your experience.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I'm hashtag blessed.
You are. And you're also hashtag one big carb.
Totally. And we're going to take a short break.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style. Mm-hmm. And figuring out what my personal style is.
Mm-hmm.
But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not possible. Either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Dory?
Yes.
I kind of have forced you into this conversation.
I'm okay with that.
Because in New York, I saw a lot of people who looked very fashionable. And I realized a lot of the trends that are taking place right now are kind of throwing me for a loop in that the 90s are back. And I'm still traumatized by this because I felt such relief when 90s style went away because it was so awful that I'm having a hard time processing the fact that 90s fashion is like, it's here.
Oh, yeah.
And I am also feeling as I get older, this kind of weird, like disconnect from trends, like almost like I don't know how to participate in fashion trends. Do I even want to participate? Is there space for me? I mean, yes, there is obviously. But I just have been feeling weird about fashion and doing a little like clicking around on the internet, like, everything yesterday or 2 days ago in The Cut, there was an article and the title was Dressing Like Cher Horowitz is Cool Again because bright plaids are coming back. They had that very iconic photo of Cher Horowitz, which if you don't know is Alicia Silverstone's character from Clueless in that yellow plaid getup. And that is cool now.
I had a yellow plaid getup.
You did?
I did.
Like a blazer and a skirt?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly what it looked like. It might have been pants.
Go on.
I mean,
who do you know where knows? It is? Do you want to bust it back out?
I don't know where it is. I also, someone posted yesterday the cover of, I think it's the new Vanity Fair. There's like a tweed blazer.
Yeah.
And someone was like, this is what moms wore in the 80s. And actually saw Jasmine Guillory tweet back, like, I had this blazer in 1996. And I was like, I had like a very similar blazer in the 90s also.
Well, power blazers are on my list of things that are cool.
Yeah.
From my research per Google.
Mm-hmm.
Power blazers.
Yeah.
Scrunchies. Mm-hmm. The one that really traumatized me that I saw a ton of in New York City this weekend are giant sneakers. Mm-hmm. Like platformy Fila sneakers.
Yeah.
I guess Balenciaga like put a sneaker out last year and now like giant fucking 90s sneakers are back.
Yeah.
And like not even like normcore dad sneakers, though those are cool too. Like platform Spice Girl sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
Animal prints.
Mm-hmm.
Delia's like 90s outfits.
Mm-hmm.
We all had the Delia's catalog. Mm-hmm. Rugby shirts and like big ass stripe things. Mm-hmm. Tommy Hilfiger. Prairie dresses. I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah.
But those are in.
Mm-hmm.
Fanny packs. Wide leg pants. And then everywhere is like Gucci. Gucci belts, Gucci bag, tiny Gucci bags. I mean, I've never owned anything by Gucci, but Gucci, fake Gucci, probably. That's all in. So I guess my question to you is, like, do you even pay attention? Because there's a part of me that's like, should I participate? Do I want a scrunchie?
Right.
Or do you feel like as you get older, you can kind of just choose to sit out and live and experience your own trend? And at any age, you can do that.
Yeah.
I know. But there's something about like being almost 40 where I'm like, what do I do? Do I get giant sneakers?
Right. Well, I feel like I kind of went through this last year when a lot of the clothes at the stores that I generally shop at, which are not these like cool stores, had off the shoulder or those like cold shoulder.
The shoulder holes. F that. I never got on that train.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, like this is where fashion starts like passing me by. And I actually wrote an edition of my newsletter, which I haven't written in a long time, my personal newsletter. I wrote about this in the newsletter about feeling just sort of like alienated from trends and feeling like I needed to kind of like define my own style. And that was when my whole closet purge started.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because I was like, I looked at my closet and I was like, a lot of these clothes don't feel like me anymore. I'm sort of in like a different phase. Like, what is that phase? And I feel like that's still like an ongoing project for me. I've been doing the curated closet. I feel a little weird doing it now because my body's going to change so much in the next few months. So
sure.
Like, it doesn't seem prudent to like buy a whole new wardrobe. Not that I would do that anyway, but like it just doesn't, the timing doesn't seem exactly right. But, you know, I think over the last year, especially, I have sort of developed more of an aesthetic that feels like me. That is like, I feel like I'm sort of in a different, I'm on like a different Instagram. You know what I mean?
This was more seeing it in person.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but no one I follow on social media like looks like this.
You don't follow Noah Cyrus and Haley Baldwin?
No, I don't.
I
follow Kylie, actually.
Okay. Well, and Kylie, she's a big sneaker wearer.
Yeah.
She's like at the forefront.
I was
of
actually
all this.
Thinking about this the other day because she posted a picture of herself in this like stretch denim jumpsuit.
I can't deal with this.
And I was like, oh, like this is what, like this is literally what we wore in the 90s that we got at like Contempo Casuals.
Don't you feel like with the 90s resurgence, you want to be like, hey, everybody, this was bad. We looked bad. Like I literally saw like teens wearing those like ribbed striped baby tees. Do you remember that? Do you know what I'm talking about this weekend with like the kind of weird ruffly bottom?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was like, y'all, like this was never good. Like I know it's trendy now, but like this was rough in 1995 and it is rough now.
Yeah.
I don't understand. But then I feel like I'm like fully a fucking middle-aged mom by the fact that I'm so stumped by this.
But like, don't you think that's okay?
That I'm a middle-aged mom?
That it's like this.
There is a part of me that's like feeling like I don't get, like I also don't understand other trends like music. Like I was following the breakup of Noah Cyrus and her boyfriend Lil Xan. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I don't even, like, I don't get, they broke up on Instagram. I was just like, I'm old now. And I'm okay with that. But also, like, it's lonely not totally getting what's going on. I think that's more it of just like, I don't mind. I like am totally down with where I am in life. But just the weird feeling of like, maybe it's like FOMO almost a little bit.
Mm.
Of like FOMO of what's like, if I put on any of these things, I would look like I was trying hard. I think, I don't think it would like truly be an expression of myself. Right. So I'm not going to do it, but there's also this feeling of like, wait, didn't we all just agree? Like Birks were cool. Like I thought, or like weren't flat van like sneakers, like slip on sneakers, just cool a couple of years ago. Like I'm not getting it.
Yeah. I think that's why, I don't know. I feel like, in like developing my own sort of vibe and aesthetic.
Your Dory style.
My Dory style. It does like, it makes it easier to shop because I don't want to buy things that like don't kind of fit in my style. This is also taken from the curated closet.
Tell us a little bit more about the curated closet.
Well, actually, By the Book just did a great episode.
Oh, I haven't listened to that one yet.
On the curated closet. Yeah, they did it. I mean, it's basically a way of figuring out what your style is and then buying the pieces, like figuring out what in your wardrobe already kind of corresponds to that style. And then what are you missing? And what is your lifestyle? Like, what do you actually need? I mean, like I work from home. I don't need like business casual clothes.
Sure.
And they also have you think about like your color palette, like what colors do you like? And I don't know, it's just all the exercises were interesting to me. And it helped me like get rid of a few things that had just been like hanging around in my closet that I never wore. And I feel like it's also been helping me buy stuff that feels like me.
There is a part of me that after, you know, I got home last night, I Googled the big ass Fila sneakers I saw. I found them on the DSW shoe warehouse. Sammy is nodding no. Does that mean I should get them, Sammy? Like, do you, like that other thing where like my sheep follower brain is like, well, here I am. I don't know.
Well, that's why I think it's like good to figure out sort of like, what is your aesthetic? Like, what is your style? Maybe you would figure out that your style incorporates those big Fila sneakers.
Next week when I show up to record and I'm 7 inches taller.
Uh-huh. And you have like a scrunchie.
I do want a scrunchie.
Okay.
Because those are easy to put on your wrist and pull your hair back with.
Totally.
Scrunchies I'm okay with. Wide leg pants, obviously, into. It's the look of a Delia's catalog model.
Well, this is what I always say. This is what I always say about Reformation.
Is that's a clothing line?
Yes. Have you ever gone into one of their stores?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. Next time you're around a Reformation store, just walk in.
I don't know when that might be. I literally go to I shop at the grocery store.
Like, you will be transported back to 1994. It's like everything is a floral print dress. Like it's crazy.
I also wonder, like, is there a bit of an age thing where like the clothes that were cool when you were a teen are now cool again? And I remember like when my mom like gave me her old bell bottoms, and like now I look back and I'm like, how did she feel when I was like rocking her 1968 fashions in the 90s? And like that kind of weird, like it's humorous, but also like it's there was like a bit of nostalgia and like sadness for the fact that like you've moved on.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world is like back to rugby's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've solved fashion.
Well, now I know what to get you for Christmas.
Get me those. The other thing is I like snike. Guffaw at fashion, and then I'm like, but it looks cool. I saw a woman in those Balenciaga sock sneakers. She also pulled them off so hard. Sammy is again nodding at me like I'm not allowed to get $800 sneaker. I'm coming in here next week with one Fila sneaker and one Balenciaga sock sneaker.
I'm gonna get you a scrunchie.
This has really been a therapy session about how I feel confused by fashion. I should also add that I am in a sweatshirt and leggings.
Hey, that and you is are fine.
And you're right. It is fine.
I'm in a caftan.
You're in a caftan, and I feel okay about myself.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
I think we should take a short break.
Okay. Our guest today is Mari Andrew. Mari, welcome.
Thank you so much.
We're excited you're here live on the phone. I would love to just read a bio so our listeners can get to know a little bit about you before we start chatting. Mari Andrew is a writer and illustrator living in New York City, and her Instagram account, By Mari Andrew, has over 930,000 followers and is full of hilarious, heartbreaking, and totally relatable illustrations. Her first book, Am I There Yet? The Loop-de-Loop Zig-Zagging Journey to Adulthood, came out this spring. It is full of essays and illustrations, all original, and is a New York Times bestseller. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Mari, welcome to Forever 35. We are big fans of yours.
Yeah.
Oh, likewise. This is like, I mean, it goes like Oprah and then Forever 35. This is a dream.
Oh,
thank you
gosh.
So much.
I can retire now.
Literally.
That's all I ever needed to hear. So Mari, we wanted to kind of kick it off talking a little bit about your own self-care routines, because we found a bunch of interviews that you've already done in which you describe some very like well thought out, well formed self-care habits.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Yeah, I won't shut up about it. Thank you. Yeah, I'm always talking about it. I love talking about it. That's one of the reasons I love your podcast.
But it sounds like you've established some processes for yourself that really kind of help you get through your day. I was wondering if you could just maybe take us through something that you do on a daily basis that leaves you feeling kind of grounded and ready to start your day.
Yeah, I have a lot. I switch up the order every day, but I have a few things that I'm pretty intent on doing, and all of them are to honor my happiness. And I am a sort of a warrior for my happiness and my joy. And I need to start in that place because I have a dream job and I have a incredible life and I've been through a lot and I'm really, really grateful. And so when I'm not in that headspace of gratitude and joy, it irritates me because I feel like I have so much going for me. And when I do my work, I do my best work from a very happy and grateful place. And that doesn't mean I'm happy every day. It means that, you know, I'm committed to the wholeness of life and I'm committed to being grateful for the things that are really good in my life. And so to kind of get in that spirit, I love listening to good music and I do that every morning. I really love Brazilian music. I also love hip hop. I love anything that sort of makes me wiggle and dance around. I do a gratitude list in the morning and I try to make it really specific because I feel like when you're talking about things you're grateful for that are really abstract, like, or, you know, like my home, my shelter, my health, I don't know. I try to get really specific, like, you know, I'm grateful for the fact that this peach is not as mushy as the others. I'm grateful for the ability to wiggle my toe right now, which I haven't been able to do in times of life. I'm grateful for my neighbor being quiet now, you know, just like things like that, that I can sort of concentrate on. So I always do those things for sure.
And I read somewhere else that you also have a 3-step process for washing your face.
Oh my gosh, I do. I thought you'd never ask. I'm so excited about it. It's taken me, I'm 31, about to be 32 in a few short weeks. And I have, I was very late to everything in life, but especially makeup and skincare. And so I felt like it was just taking forever to get like a process or like things that worked for me because I didn't really experiment when I was younger. And so I felt like I had all this catching up to do. So I finally started getting facials once a month, which is like my big treat to myself. I love it so much. I love the woman who does my facials. We have a great relationship. I never walk away feeling like I'm doing something wrong, which I feel like is how a lot of people feel when they go, they get facials, or I used to before I found her. And so I use a really gentle and good smelling cleanser, Grown Alchemist, which I think has something like olive extract in it. It just makes me feel like a Mediterranean goddess. And then I use my little vitamin C serum by oh my gosh, what's it called? What's that brand?
It's not Ulta Major, but it's, I know, Ursa Major.
Ursa Major,
right?
Yes. The constellation.
There we go.
Exactly. Yeah, and then I put on my SPF 50 moisturizing sunscreen by Ulta. That's by Ulta, I think. And it makes me really happy. And I'm always listening to a podcast. I have my little friends in the bathroom with me. And it's a really nice way to start the day. And it's like one thing you can do for yourself that feels like really caring and lovely. You know, like if nothing else, you can at least do that one thing.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about your gratitude practice? One thing I know you've mentioned is that you lost your dad around the same age as I was when I lost my mom. And you've also dealt with some really serious health stuff for somebody so young. And I'm curious, were you, during those experiences, did you have a daily gratitude practice, or did your desire to do one come from experiencing such challenging things in your late 20s and early 30s?
That's a good question. No, I don't think I did. I think feeling thankful has, that was a value that was instilled in me by my parents. I think it's always been something that I thought was important to do and to, you know, say a lot, but I certainly didn't have that, commitment that I do now to my own gratitude and my own appreciation for being alive. You're right. I think that being really aware of mortality, and a lot of times that happens through losing someone, and then also this really serious illness I went through, I think that that just gave me such a perspective on the fragility of life and the preciousness of my own life. And I mean, of course, there's so much more I could say about that. But yeah, I think it really did come out of those challenges. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes you do have to go through those things to get to that point where you are really committed to your own gratitude and your happiness. And I always tell people, if you feel bad that you haven't like been through anything yet, it's coming for you. So don't worry, you'll get there. You'll get to that great, grateful place.
I like that you do it in the morning. I feel like any time I've done a gratitude practice, it's been something that I kind of end my day with. But I like this idea of starting my day with a gratitude practice.
Oh, I feel like the evening could be really nice for it. That sounds lovely, too.
I do think, though, like something about starting your day.
Yeah.
Like just be, like focusing on your gratitude is such a great way to kind of shift your perspective in the morning rather than like growling out of bed, which is occasionally how I operate.
Yeah. I mean, again, I feel like I have such an incredible job and one that I didn't even think to dream for myself because it was such a kind of unattainable dream to me. But I, like anyone and any job, you get irritated. You know, it's like most of my job is not sitting around drawing my feelings. It's, you know, emails and taxes and invoices and all kinds of crap that I don't really want to deal with. And so if I go into it with a more grateful place, just for things in my life, not even necessarily related to my job, I think then I'm a little less growly at my laptop. And I hate being that way, because I am so grateful for, you know, the fun and flexibility that my job gives me. And I don't want to be like resentful to it first thing in the morning, especially.
I know you started working on some of the stuff that would end up in your book long before you started your Instagram account, right?
Yeah, I did. So I wrote, I published my book when I was 30. I sort of wrote most of it between 28 and 30. But I wrote the first essay when I was 24. I kept a blog my whole 20s, like blogspot.com.
Uh-huh. You remember.
Like everyone. I had a Zanga before that. So, you nice. Know, I ran the whole the whole spectrum of blogs through the years. But I started kind of essay writing, personal essay writing, when I was living in South America when I graduated college. So I was about 23. And I never really considered myself much of a writer. I didn't really think that I was good at it. I wasn't good at it in school. I also failed the only drawing class I ever took. So school
wow.
does not, school has nothing to do with what you might eventually end up doing. So I learned, but I started writing in South America because I didn't have many friends and there wasn't much to do except walk around and sit in cafes and think about myself. I didn't really speak Spanish that well. So I was just kind of always in my head that entire year. And I spent a lot of time just writing things I observed. And so I started this kind of personal essay practice through blogging. And that continued to be such an anchor for me during my 20s. And it was always something I could kind of rely on in the way that I do with illustrating now. And, you know, just a constant way for me to be able to process things that were going on. And so, yeah, one of the essays in my book I actually wrote around that time, which is really special. It's nice to think about my poor little 24-year-old lost self, like writing an essay that would someday be in a book. It makes me emotional to think about.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Your Instagram and your book are they're both just so amazing. And I think you really capture so much of just like the human experience, and especially like what it's like to love someone and kind of search for your purpose. And so much of it is just so powerful. I was looking at something you posted a few days ago that just says, "I took a sip of the water you left on the table to feel connected to you one last time. It still smelled a little like you, thank God."
Ugh. Ugh. Makes me cry.
Yeah. Where are you kind of accessing that from?
Thank you for saying all that. I so appreciate it. I have a really good emotional memory, which is helpful for the job I have. So I'm mm-hmm. able to remember exactly how I felt in a lot of situations, even, you know, from when I was a child, I can really remember feelings that I had. So that's helpful. But a lot of what I write about or what I post on Instagram, the way that I have expressed myself through drawing, I write in a really raw place. And then I wait a while before I post it. So that one in particular, I mean, I think that anyone could sort of project their own experience onto it. Not anyone, but, you know, more emotional, moody people. But that one I wrote very, very raw, like right after a breakup, like literally right after it happened. And I'm like blasting, I can't make you love me. And I'm sobbing and like the, just the saddest little, little creature. And I just wrote that out and I knew I wasn't going to post it for several months because it was so raw. And I knew that if I posted it and people commented on it, it would like, it would be too much for me. Yeah, so I waited until I was in a really good place and I was sort of, you know, healed, as much as a person can be. And that's when I share it. And then I think, okay, this isn't, it doesn't carry the same weight anymore. So I do both, from memory and then actually when I'm experiencing it myself. So it's a bit of both. Cause if I wrote about what I was experiencing every single day, I mean, that would be like,
it's too vulnerable. You're already so vulnerable yeah. that that's like, if it was happening in real time, that might be a lot right. of pressure on you.
It would also be a lot of really boring work. Cause, you know, not every day I'm having like an emotional crisis. So
good. That's a good thing to
say. Yeah. Overwhelmed by nostalgia or whatever.
Can you talk a little bit about your experience? I do not know how to say it. Guillain-Barré syndrome. Is that correct?
Oh my gosh. Perfect. Oh. Wow. Yes. I've become quite the expert at pronouncing it.
Yeah. So you had a really serious diagnosis while you were traveling.
Yeah. It was such a bummer. I was really, really excited to be in Spain writing my book. I got this book advanced. And of course, you know, 28-year-old me is like, I'm going to blow it all in Spain. I'm just going to like flee my home and go to Spain for 3 months. I mean, what else? And I really wanted to learn how to flamenco dance. And I picked the city Granada because I Googled most Bohemian cities. I thought like, I'm an artist now and this is where I need to be. Like I need to be with my people. So I went to Granada, which is a lovely Bohemian city. I was right. And it was a blissful month there. Absolutely wonderful. And then quite all of a sudden, I became paralyzed with an autoimmune disease that is extremely rare and extremely hard to pronounce. Kind of sounds like a cool like cardio class, I think. Yeah. Guillain-Barré, it's like the new thing. But yeah, I mean, it took a couple days to diagnose, and then I was in the hospital. Pretty much completely paralyzed for about a month. Wow. And then following that was about 6 months of recovery. And in some ways, I'm still recovering. It's about a 2-year process, and I had it a year ago. So I still have trouble. I like to take dance classes. I still have trouble pointing my toes. And sometimes I just drop things. But I don't know if I was very like coordinated before. It's kind of hard to remember how well I did at, you know, navigating the world before. So it's a little hard to tell how recovered I am, but it was quite the experience and something that affects me every day, mentally and emotionally.
Yeah. And how has taking care of yourself kind of changed since you were diagnosed with a chronic illness?
I think that it's changed as dramatically as it possibly could. I think when I first kind of got out of the hospital, I was sort of moving through recovery. So many people wanted to know what I learned from it, you know, almost as though like, I mean, I totally get that impulse where it's like someone else has been through something really hard and life altering, but you want to not have to go through that in order to learn the lesson.
Right, so totally.
You want to ask, what did you learn? Like, what wisdom can you impart? And for the first year or so this happened last March. So right now it's been about a year and a half. I was kind of intent on not learning anything because I had just gone through The loss of my dad, so much heartache over the years, so many career struggles, trauma, all kinds of stuff. And I thought, I'm sick of this. Like, I just wanted to go to Spain and drink sangria. I didn't want to learn life lessons. I already learned this. Like, I am grateful for life. I know that life is precious. I get it. Like, I did not need to go through this. And so I was sort of intent on it just being a really bad experience. Like, I thought, I refuse to see the silver lining. Like, I'm just gonna, this is just something that's bad. And then I think over time, especially as I healed almost completely physically, the lesson that kept popping up, or the sort of refrain that kept coming to mind, is how precious my time is. And I think I just realized, not in a sense of I know I'm going to die, but just like, I don't have time to feel bad anymore. And so I don't really know where that came from, but it was like, I just became so adamant and militant about enjoying my life. And so I was so grateful to feel so loved during that time. And it brought me so much closer to a lot of my friends. And I realized that's like what life is. That's what life's about. And I realized, you know, I have to set some pretty, pretty intense boundaries if I'm going to like really let these friendships flourish and really cultivate these friendships. Like, I don't necessarily have time anymore to spend time with people who don't really nourish me that way. Or, you know, there's so many things that I could spend my time on. And what I really want to spend my time on is these relationships and these friendships and my relationship with myself. So I think I've become really good at just stopping anything that doesn't make me feel good. During the recovery time, a lot of people told me to do acupuncture, and I'm sure it's fantastic for a lot of people. I don't know if it was really doing much for me, and it didn't feel really good. But massages, I don't know if they did anything, but they felt really good. So I started really shifting my focus to whatever feels really good. And that kind of trickled over to many other parts of my life, mental, spiritual, emotional. There's a lot of things that I feel like I should do on a daily basis, as certain kinds of exercise, certain kinds of food. And I just think, this isn't making me happy, so I'm not going to do it. Like, that is what life's about for me right now. So yeah, quite a dramatic shift. And it has taken about a year to get to that point.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it does sound like, though, it's still a daily, it's a larger practice. And then it's like a daily, day-to-day kind of practice, implementing the boundaries to kind of allow you to have that space to just connect with your happiness.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And there's a lot of sort of guilt as well that I'm dealing with. I would consider it probably something like survivor's guilt, or, you know, a bit of post-trauma that is, infiltrates a lot of my life as well. And the only way that I can really move through that is with gratitude and with, you know, generosity of self, however that works, sharing my story and being open about these things, and hopefully helping others through, you know, these really hard things that are all kind of connected and all feel sort of the same at the end of the day. Just really, really big struggles and life questions.
In our email exchange, now this is not a big life challenge, but it is something I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned that you had recently purchased a, quote, fabulous gold body oil.
What? Oh my gosh, yes.
What is that?
Yes, it was magic. I was leaving on my book tour to Australia. I had just gone through this like really upsetting breakup, which I wasn't as sad about as I was sad that I would have to re-enter the New York dating scene, which is just a misery-filled minefield. It's just terrible. And I wanted to feel really, really lovely about myself. So right before I was leaving for the airport, I thought I need to find something that's going to like give me this boost. I need to go into my book tour feeling fabulous, like way more fabulous than I am right now. So I went into this tiny little shop, the Alchemist Kitchen, for those of you in New York, it's in the East Village. And I found this gold potty oil, which is like a mix of almond and some other stuff that you're supposed to put on yourself to feel softer. And it has like gold flecks in it. It's called Wild Care. And I purchased this right before I was getting on the plane. I kind of like doused myself in it and I felt like a mermaid. I felt amazing. And then I had like the best trip to Australia and all my dreams came true. And I really felt like it was something magical. And that's the thing. Like, that's my whole philosophy these days. It's like, I don't know if this is making my skin better. I don't know if I'm glowing, but it makes me feel like I'm glowing. So then I'm going to act like I'm glowing. You know, it's like all about the way that you feel. So thank you, Wildcare. Thank you, Gold Flex.
Do you think the glow is also coming from like the work you're doing on yourself to maintain your own happiness?
Oh my God, maybe. Maybe. All the avocados, I don't know.
I saw you mentioned somewhere that you do a journaling exercise in the morning. Is that something you're still doing? Something called the Daily Examine?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
What is like that? Can you tell
us? Secret trick.
Yeah, I'd love to learn more about that.
Yeah, I do. I do do it. I don't. If I'm in a time crunch, I just do the gratitude. But in a perfect world, I would do the whole examine. And it's really good to do at the end of the day. It comes from the Jesuits, who I have gotten a lot of spiritual nourishment from. And it's just a 5-part sort of journaling exercise to go through your day. So the first part is stillness, and it's just kind of where you are right now and just kind of being present in yourself. So I just write down what I'm seeing, what I'm smelling, whatever. The second part is gratitude. The third part is what went well today. Where did you really feel alive? Where did you feel really happy and like in your power, in your ministry, whatever. The fifth part is what didn't go well and what you're going to do in the future. So a lot of times, even if it's like, I got 6 hours of sleep, you know, it's something like that. Like I resolve to do better next time because that didn't make me feel good. And then the last part is hopefulness. So what you're hopeful for the next day or the day you're about to have. And that's my favorite part. And it always feels really, really good to think about, like this morning I did, I said, I hope to have a really fun time on the podcast.
Aww.
And I also said, I hope to appreciate being in bar class. So, you know, there's, you can kind of, you know, it's the range, the full range.
Sure. And what is your spiritual connection to the Jesuits? Is that something, a religious practice you grew up with, or is that something you've come to as an adult?
Oh man, that is like a whole book, as anyone's spiritual journey is. That's something I came to as an adult. I've been really, really formed and really influenced by any religious tradition that is that embraces the intellectual and the artistic, and the Jesuits do a beautiful job of embracing both. So they love to learn and they love to appreciate art and culture. And so I really, really resonate with a lot of Jesuit writers and speakers and thinkers. And it's just been a really positive influence in my life.
It's very cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am wondering what it's like. I'm trying to think how to phrase this. Like you have this Instagram that is so emotionally vulnerable and connects with so many people on such a kind of fundamental level. But does that ever kind of feel like pressure to you? Like you have to live up to something for your audience?
That's a great question. It's people ask me and I still don't really, I guess I don't, because I don't, the like, yes doesn't come to mind.
Yeah.
So What's been actually really interesting is the more followers I've gotten, the less pressure I feel and the less I think about it. Like, I think I just feel like at this point, I mean, it's so hard to have perspective on this kind of thing, and it's so hard to see your work objectively. I certainly don't, but I just sort of feel like now I'm in, like, we're in a good flow, me and my audience, and I make mistakes. I do it all the time, and they're great about it, and I'm learning and they're learning. And I think sometimes if something is heavy on my heart, I do feel a responsibility to share it. That can be like something more, you know, political or social or whatever. But I just feel like I'm in a good place with people, and it was really helpful. I went on this book tour over the summer, and it was really beautiful to get to actually talk to people, because right now they're all in my phone, and I actually don't tend to read many comments just because it's a lot.
You get thousands of comments on every post.
I wouldn't do anything else. Yeah, but I sort of, that is like a lot of energy to absorb, and so I try to just kind of like let people see what they're gonna see in it, and like let them have their journey. But when I was starting out, I mean, even though I wasn't doing it to get followers by any means, when I started picking up followers, so when I had maybe around 10,000, that felt like the most pressure, because it was like, whoa, I have so many, but it's like, what am I doing? It was so abrupt. It was so fast. They grew really quickly. And I think at that point it was like, oh my God, what is this? Like I sometimes think about it as like emotional skinny dipping. It's like, you're just out there in the water, you're naked, it's great, it's beautiful. And then when I got to a certain number of followers, it kind of felt like someone took my clothes. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, what is this? I'm so out in the open. But now I'm like used to it, you know? So it doesn't really affect me anymore.
Emotional skinny dipping is a phrase I want to use for everything.
It applies to a lot, like dating, putting your life on Instagram, whatever.
We get a lot of listeners who write to us asking just kind of how to maintain a positive attitude while dating. And since you're so focused on your own happiness, how does dating play into that? Are you able to approach it from a place of gratitude and happiness?
Oh, God. sort of. What I mean by positivity a lot does have a lot to do with boundaries. So it's just being so aware of how I'm feeling and how I'm being treated. So if I go into a date or a relationship and I'm not feeling the way I want to feel, that is my signal that it's not the person for me. And I try really hard to keep that attitude of not that I'm so hurt and I am devastated by this, but I learned that this person wasn't right for me. And that's really, really hard to do. But that is kind of what I try to bring, is like, what is not for me will miss me, and what is meant for me will find me. And I am on a totally different journey than anyone else. And I try to move through it like that. It can be really, really hard, because I think, I don't know if it's especially in New York, but it's certainly especially with app culture, you do start to feel sort of disposable, and you do feel like, you know, totally replaceable. And I don't like feeling that way. I want to feel like a treasure. And it's hard to find someone who has really done the work to treat people like that. And, you know, same goes for me. I see it in myself too. And I see myself treating people in a not super kind way. So it's challenging. I think the only thing that really helps me is just remembering that the only way that you're going to find what you're looking for as far as love is to keep giving it, you know, like keep going, keep, you know, you're not going to find the love of your life by sitting in your room and feeling sad, you know, so you have to like keep giving. And it's so hard to do, but I don't know. It's really hard. I don't have any great advice. It's been a journey for sure.
Oh, this has been so great to get to talk to you. like truly. Oh. It's fun to get to know you, the person, as opposed to you, the little face I see drawn. Because obviously you're not a figure. You are a living, breathing human. So it's so wonderful to get to learn more sides of you.
Oh, thank you so much. I so appreciate that.
Mari, so, you know, we know you have an Instagram. Is there anywhere else that people can find you?
Not really. The Sephora skincare. Website is by MariAndrew.com. Okay. You can find my book there and everything you ever wanted to know about, you know, my favorite animal, etc. So that's it.
Cool. Well, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was such a pleasure.
So, Kate.
Yes, Tori.
How's the purge going?
Dory, as followers of our Instagram might have noticed, I purged my fridge last week, and it was therapeutic and healing. And I did it at 9:30 at night, which was not the best idea.
Okay.
Because it went till about 11:30 at night. I should have gone to bed, but my refrigerator has remained organized.
That's amazing.
And I received a lot of tips, which I shared in this month's newsletter. But it felt really, really, the refrigerator, every time I opened it, it would give me like a stress attack. So it's been really nice having cleaned out that space, and I hope to continue to purge. Now, last week you talked about needing to kind of recalibrate and figure out how to take care of yourself and exist as a newly pregnant woman.
Yeah. And as I was just saying to you, I kind of feel like I'm a broken record these days.
That's okay.
Because this is just sort of the overriding theme of my life. I guess I succeeded in the sense that like I took it easy.
Yeah. Good for you.
But I also like didn't really have a choice because I felt so horrible.
Yeah.
And now this week, you know, I mentioned at the beginning, at the top of the show, I mentioned that I have like canceled all social engagements. And so in part because they usually revolve around like getting food or getting coffee or, you know, something that just makes me want to vom right now. And so now I'm like, is there a way I can like see friends that doesn't involve food and doesn't involve me like driving across town at rush hour? Because also being in the car for too long makes me a little like woozy.
And have you been cleared for exercising or for walk? You can walk?
Well, my doctor said I could walk and swim.
Okay.
I just haven't had the energy to do so.
Because I'm going to say like a 20-minute walk with a friend, but that sounds overwhelming.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've been walking, Matt, I've been walking the dog in the mornings.
Oh, good.
So at least I'm like getting a walk.
And your dog is a friend.
And my dog is a friend. So I'm hanging out with friends.
No, but you want to see real humans.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm going to try and sort of think about that this week.
Oh, that's a good thing to try to do.
And what about you?
Well, I have decided that I need to use the time at night after my kids go to bed to like do something for myself rather than do quote-unquote chores.
Mm.
Because normally after my kids go to bed, it's like 9 o'clock, and then I clean the kitchen, make all the lunches, like do the recycling, do a bunch of things, which I'll have to get done. So I need to figure out exactly how I'm going to rearrange my schedule. But I kind of will like let it go, and I'll do it. I'll be doing it till 11:30 at night, and I go to bed late. And instead, I think I should just be like, well, when my kids are in bed, it's time for me to wind down. And either like watch a TV episode or read a book and get in bed earlier. Because otherwise I just feel like angry and resentful.
Yeah.
So my hope is that I could, you know, relax at night and then go to bed earlier, wake up at like 6 a.m. and start doing all those things that I normally do the night before.
Okay.
But I still haven't kind of got that rhythm down yet. But
yeah.
I'm always curious what other people with parents, like when do you do all that shit? Like, are you a stay up late and do it person? Are you a get up and do it in the morning? I don't like the feeling of being rushed in the morning. So I need to get up a lot earlier and kind of have, I would like to have a lot of time in my morning to kind of get organized, but I just haven't figured it out. So I'm hoping to kind of play with what needs to get done. Last night I stayed up late doing dishes. So what am I going to do?
Oh, boy.
You know what I also need to do, Dory?
What?
I need to streamline the bedtime process with my kids.
Oh.
I'm in a bad habit right now, which is I cuddle with them until they fall asleep, which is lovely. One of them likes their feet rubbed, and the other one likes to be, like, cuddled. Oh, Sammy's tenderly touching their face. Which is lovely. And I always had this thing in my head that like, I never want to deny them that like intimacy because I miss my mom so much that like, I don't ever want to be like, no, sorry, I can't rub your toes until you fall asleep. Like I've got to go do the dishes. But the bedtime tends to like go long. And I think for everybody's sake, it might be nice to just like also learn how to fall asleep without me spooning you.
Mm.
I love the cuddles too.
Yeah.
I love their little stinky feet. So I don't know. Just a thought.
All right.
That's too many details about my nights, but that's what's going on at my house. I'm rubbing toes.
Well, Dory,
we did it.
We sure did.
Another week.
Another week.
In the books. Yep. Let's tell our friends where they can find us.
Well, we have a voicemail.
We do. And we get voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
And we love them.
781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can join us on Facebook. www.facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast, where a whole world awaits you.
A universe.
A universe of Forever 35 related content. Password is serums. And as always, if you like the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend or mention us on the Soch.
And just another reminder that everything we talk about is always mentioned on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can also follow us on the gram at forever35podcast and on Twitter. I was going to say, and on the tweets, but no, that doesn't make sense.
Doesn't quite work.
At forever35pod.
And of course, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio.
Bye.